Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Daniel chapter 6. This is the chapter where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. And most people, when you mention the name Daniel, that's the first thing they think about. When Georgette and I were giving the kids a ride back to school, we just talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we were talking about where was Daniel when those three were thrown into the fiery furnace. You could ask the same question tonight: where were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Daniel was arrested for praying? Because they'd probably be doing the same thing. Don't know the answer to either one of those questions, but again, most people, when they hear the name Daniel, think about Daniel in the lion's den. Now, I believe Daniel lived to be over 80 years old, so he had a long life. We've looked at some of the things that have happened in his life in the first five chapters of Daniel. He spent one night of those 80 years in the lion's den, and yet that's what most people remember about him, that one night that he spent in the lion's den. But again, both this chapter about him in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace reminds us about how God takes care of us. It reminds us how he watches over us and reminds us that if he chooses to, he can intervene in miraculous ways and foil the plans of man and take care of his children. So let's start tonight in chapter 6. Now, I would remind you, last week we finished up chapter 5, where Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, so to speak, and Daniel interpreted that handwriting and said, hey, you've been weighed in the balances, you've been found wanting, the nation of Babylon is going to be destroyed, and you're going to be killed tonight. That happened. The Medes and the Persians took over. And so you had the dream that Daniel foretold in chapter 2 about the statue. The head of gold was Babylon. The arms of silver were the Medes and the Persians. And so the head of gold has passed off the scene now. Babylon was destroyed. The Medes and the Persians had taken over. They ruled the world just like Babylon did. But again, when we talked about it in chapter 2, it was a lesser kingdom than the kingdom of Babylon. Two silver arms, still powerful, still strong, still ruled the earth, but not in the same way that the head of gold did. And we're going to see a couple of examples of that tonight. Now, we're going to read about, in the first verse, we're going to read about the king, Darius. In history, he was Darius Cyrexes the second. Okay? Now, history tells us he only reigned for 2 years. Only reigned for 2 years. The guy that took over after him was Cyrus. And Cyrus was the one, the Persian king, that passed the decree that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. After their 70-year captivity, he's the one that said, hey, anybody that wants to go back can go back. He's the one that emptied out the treasure house and sent the dishes and the cups that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. He sent those back. He was actually the nephew of this king called Darius. He was Darius's sister's son. Darius didn't have any sons, history tells us. And so his nephew took over. He's the one that we read about in the Bible that sent the Jews back. All right, so let's start chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now, you remember, here's an example of where the arms of silver were lesser than the head of gold. When Nebuchadnezzar ruled, he had some counselors and he had some advisors, but nobody helped him rule. He oversaw everything. I mean, he was an absolute ruler. He had no help. Now, here's the two arms of silver. Darius sets up 120 princes. And so they're responsible to look over a geographical area that make up his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar would have never done that. He set over them three presidents. They were to keep track of the princes, Okay? So if he divided them equally, each one had 40 princes to look over, 120 divided by 3. They each had to keep track of 40 princes and sort of serve as the liaison between the princes and the king, King Darius. And it says there in verse 2 that so that the king should have no damage. In other words, so that the princes couldn't steal from him, so that he wouldn't suffer anything, or so that they wouldn't lead a rebellion against him. That was the purposes of the presidents. They were to keep a track of all the princes. Daniel was made the first president, now, of the three. And so he was next to Darius as far as ruling the kingdom. Now, when you stop and think about that, here's a man who in Babylon was a counselor to Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar died, he sort of went into retirement for about 25 years. Now here comes the Medes and the Persians setting up their world dominion, their world kingdom, and Daniel again, sort of serving a bridge between these two kingdoms, Daniel again is given a position of authority in this kingdom. In fact, he was given a higher position of authority in this kingdom than he was in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom or in Babylon. He was the first president. He was the guy that was the first one that reported to the king. All right, look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And so Daniel did his job well. Okay, he was one of the presidents. He overlooked the princes that he was responsible for. He did it very well. So well, in fact, and one of the reasons he did that, there was an excellent spirit within him. Two meanings to that. He went about his job with a good spirit. I mean, he gave the impression, and he probably did, he enjoyed what he did. He was loyal to the king. He carried out the king's command as long as it didn't interfere with God's command. And that's what this chapter is all about. The king got tricked into passing a command that required Daniel to go against what God commanded, and so he didn't obey the king. But where he could, where it didn't interfere with what God told him to do, he was loyal to the king. He carried out the king's command. And so he had a good serving spirit, a spirit of service in him that the king saw. Of course, we know that he had another spirit within him. He had the spirit of God in him that gave him wisdom, that gave him strength, that gave him the things that he needed to be this kind of servant to the king. The king saw this. King Darius saw this. And that verse says he sought to set him over the whole kingdom. He didn't want him to be one of the three presidents anymore. He was looking to establish him over the three presidents and have everybody report to him, and he be next unto the king in the kingdom that Darius had. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. The other presidents, the princes, saw what Darius wanted to do. They were a bunch of jealous politicians. They were a bunch of jealous people that said, you know, we got to get rid of this guy. We do not want this guy ruling over us. We do not want him between us and Darius. I mean, if he became over everybody else, that means everybody else moved down a notch, okay? Because everybody else, I mean, the princes were two steps away from the king. The presidents was one step away from the king. Now the presidents were going to be two steps away from the king, and the princes were going to be three. So they didn't like it. They were jealous. They said, we've got to find some fault to discredit Daniel. But the Bible says there, they could find none occasion nor fault. I mean, they could not find anything that Daniel was doing wrong. They could not find one wrong judgment that he had made. They could not find one ill word that he had said against the king. I mean, everything he did was according to what he was supposed to do. He lived his life above reproach. And so they said, we got to find something to discredit him. And they looked and looked and put his life under a microscope. And yet they could find nothing wrong with him. no error or fault found in him. He was faithful. He was faithful to King Darius. He was faithful to God. Now, let me just stop for a minute. People today want to do the same thing to Christians. They want to discredit them. They want to find fault with them. And we can't stop people from talking about us. I learned that a long time ago as a pastor. You cannot stop people from talking about you. But here's what we can do, all of us. We can live our life to make them liars.
Amen?
I mean, we can't stop them from talking about us, but if we live our life, just like Daniel did, above reproach, whatever they want to say, it'll be a lie. And what a wonderful testimony it would be about us if God could say the same thing about us that he said about Daniel. He could not. He was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You might say, preacher, how can we live our life like that? We can't do it on our own. But the Holy Spirit can help us. Amen. If we'll listen and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, he can help us live our life above reproach. And again, people are still going to talk about us. That's all right. Just make them a liar when they do. All right, verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They weren't going to find anything against him in how he ruled as a president. They weren't going to find anything against him in his loyalty to King Darius. And they saw how Daniel lived his life, and they said, the only way we're going to get him is to set up a situation where he has, in order to be loyal to Darius, he has to break the law of his God. Because they knew that Daniel wasn't going to do that. They knew that Daniel was going to be faithful to his God. I mean, again, they had probably heard about Daniel. I mean, you go back to Daniel chapter 1, where Nebuchadnezzar and his chief lieutenant tried to get Daniel and his three friends to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, and they said, we're not going to do it. And remember, they set up the test, the pulse, the vegetables, and the water, and they found them 10 times better. And if anybody had known Daniel, as these guys must have known him, they knew that in no way, in no shape, or in no form, was he going to be disloyal to his God or the laws of his God. And so they said, the only way we're going to get him is to have him, is to force him into breaking one of the laws of his God. He ain't going to do it. He's not going to do it, and we'll get him. We'll get him. So here's what they did. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now, Darius, like Nebuchadnezzar, had a little bit of pride. Okay? I think he was a better man starting out than Nebuchadnezzar. I think you'll see that as the story goes on. But he suffered the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar did. He had a little bit of pride. And so when these men came to him and said, King Darius, live forever, they were starting to put the butter on the bread. They were starting to butter him up. They said, all the presidents of the kingdom. Now, they said all of them. Daniel wasn't part of them. I mean, they lied. They lied right out. There were three presidents. Only two of them agreed to what they agreed to. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So these guys got together. Again, they all agreed. Daniel wasn't part of it. But I mean everybody, not only the princes and the presidents, but the governors, whoever they were, the counselors, the captains of the army, everybody that reported to King Darius and said, hey, we've all got together. And we're in complete agreement on this. We think that you should pass a law that if anybody in the kingdom for the next 30 days ask anything of any other god, any god, or any man, other than you, again, for the next 30 days, they should be thrown into the lion's den. That's what they came. Now, again, if you were the king and you were a little bit proud and they came to you with this proposition,
I mean, they knew that he was going to agree. I mean, again, they were spreading the butter on thick. They were buttering him up. They were using flattery. Live forever. We want to, here's what they were saying. We want to make you like God. We want to make you more important than any God. We want to make you more important than any man. And so if anybody asks anything of anybody else for the next 30 days, we want you to pass a law that they be thrown into a den of lions. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which authoreth not. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the law of the Medes and the Persians. If a king signed a law, even he could not change it. He couldn't change it. Now, I don't believe that was true in the Babylonian Empire. I believe if Nebuchadnezzar passed a law and it turned out that it was working against him, he'd just cancel it. Okay? Head of gold. Here's two arms of silver. Their law was that if the king signed the law, he was a slave to it. He could not change it. So, verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So he agreed with them. He said, okay, that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in the place of God? Said it. I agree. So he signed it, made it the law of the land. Now, when Daniel knew what the writing that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So when the law was passed that nobody could pray to any other god for the next 30 days, what did Daniel do? He continued to do what he had done before. He didn't start something to be in defiance of this law. I mean, his window was already opened. He didn't defy the law and say, well, I'm going to pray now. I never prayed before. I'm going to pray now. No. He had prayed three times a day before. His window was open toward Jerusalem. That was, if you were away from Jerusalem as a Jew, when prayer time came, you looked toward Jerusalem. You looked toward the temple. The temple, if you were in Jerusalem, you went to the temple to pray. But if you were away from Jerusalem, you put your face toward Jerusalem and you prayed. And notice what he did. He got down on his knees. Now, I don't think the Bible commands us to get down on our knees when we pray. And when we have people pray in church, you know, they stand or they sit. When the men pray in the library, when the ladies pray back here, they're sitting down. When a person gets on their knees in prayer, what they're saying by that posture or that position is that they are humbling themselves before God. They are saying, I'm not worthy to approach my Creator God. I'm not worthy to approach the omnipotent God. I'm not worthy to approach my Creator. I found that when people really have a need in their life where they want to get a hold of God, they get down on their knees. Because that's a position that says to God, I can't do it without you. Can't make it without you. I'm humbling myself before you because I need something special from you that I can't get anywhere else but from my God. And so three times a day, he went to his room. He got down on his knees. His face was toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. Didn't matter what the law. Didn't matter that Darius signed it. Didn't matter what the penalty was. Daniel was going to be faithful to his God. God said to pray. He was going to pray. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So they spied on him. They came looking. They knew what they were going to find. They knew Daniel was not going to stop because the law was passed, and so they found exactly what they were expecting to find. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So they were setting the king up. I mean, they said, hey, didn't you sign this? By the way, what day do you think it was? I think it was day one. I don't think it was day two, three, or four, or day 30. It was day one. They didn't waste any time. I mean, they went looking for Daniel on day one. They saw him praying. They went to the king. They said, hey, didn't you sign this law? Anybody ask a petition of any god in the next 30 days? Didn't you sign it? That they'd be thrown into the den of lions? The king said, yes, I did. And that law cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So they went to Darius and they said, hey, you signed this law. Here's this guy, Daniel, one of your presidents, one of the guys that's supposed to be loyal to you. One of the guys that's supposed to be obedient and be an example in the kingdom of how we're all supposed to follow your laws, he's not paying any attention to you. Not paying any attention to the law that you signed, the decree that you signed. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He was displeased with what he'd been tricked into. I think at this point in time, he saw through their scheme. He saw through what they had done, and he was displeased, mad, however you want to say it, with himself for falling into their trap, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He looked for a loophole. He looked for a way around the decree. He looked for a way to get Daniel out of the penalty that Daniel faced for praying, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Again, I believe Daniel, one of the times he prayed was early in the morning. I believe that's what, and again, the Bible doesn't say this, just what I think. I think they caught him in his first prayer that first day. I mean, they didn't want to waste any time. They caught him in his morning prayer. They went to the king. They said, here's a guy that's disobeying you. He's praying. And the king spent the whole day until the sun went down trying to find a loophole in the law to get Daniel out of the penalty, out of the den of lions. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. So they went to the king, said, now look, if you change this law, you're going to undermine the whole system that our society is built upon. Our society is built upon the fact that once a king passes a law, even the king is not above the law. Even the king can't break the law. Now, what they didn't say, but I'm sure what they thought was, hey, we know you like Daniel. We know you were trying to set him up over everybody else. But look at his disloyalty. Look at how he has disobeyed you, dishonored you, and made a petition to his God. Now, I sort of think Darius knew Daniel. He knew his history. He knew about Daniel's God. Okay? And I don't think Darius was surprised when these men came to him and said, hey, your first president over there, the one you want to set up over all the kingdom, is praying. And he's praying to his God. I think Darius said, I should have known that. I should have never signed that law because it was just a trap to catch Daniel. I should have known better. And he looked for every way to get him out, but when the princes and the presidents came to him and said, you know the law. You know the law, once it's been signed, it cannot be changed even by you. And I'm sure Darius thought about, well, maybe I'll forget about that and I'll change it anyway. But then he realized that if he did, he'd be throwing the whole kingdom into disarray because he'd be undermining one of the laws that kingdom was built upon. Now, we got to stop for tonight because we're out of time. But next week, we'll pick up right here. And find out, well, we know what happened to Daniel. We know he went into the den, and we know he was saved. But we'll continue next week. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.